talk on step 12 from Josh B. in Everett, Washington. Let's give a warm welcome to Josh. Come on in, Josh.
Thanks, everybody. My name is Josh B. I'm an alcoholic. Hey, I just want to thank everybody for inviting me out today to talk about step 12. It's interesting. You know, there's that saying that God helps those that help themselves. And I don't think that's true. I think God helps those that help each other. You know, I think what this program has taught me is that getting outside of myself is the most connected that I can be in the spiritual realm. When I'm not thinking of myself, when I'm thinking of my fellow man or fellow woman and non-alcoholics alike outside of these rooms, something magical happens. You know, something magical happens where I'm able to actually plug in and live life among the living. I'm an alcoholic. I said that. My sobriety date was August 5th of 2003. Just a brief qualification here. And then it was January 21st of 2006. And then July 28th of 2021. I am a retread. A relapse is not recommended if you're new or newer in this meeting. Relapse is the exact opposite of recovery. And while I wish it wasn't a part of my story, it is. And in AA, the greatest gift that we can give each other is sharing our honest experience. Oh, I got a little dog in the background there. Who's barking? Woof. Someone's we got a dog trying to get sober there. That's good. I think we'll be able to get this done for him. Anyhow. No, is it just me? It might just be the voices. It could just be the voices in my head that's hearing the little dog. Okay, that's fine. See, some are sicker than others, and that's why I'm here. Anyway, so, you know, we come around here and we find a couple things out about ourselves. And one of them is the fact that I can't do this thing called life alone. It has little to do with alcohol today, but I want everyone to kind of close their eyes, and I'm going to paint a picture for you. It was a warm midsummer day in 1991 in Santee, California, East County, San Diego. I just walked home from summer school that day. I went to my neighbor's house for lunch. We put a can of chili on the stove. I remember squirting a little bit of barbecue sauce into the chili because I was feeling a little extra culinary that day. And it was Denison's chili, you know, and that was the high class chili, because if you put the fork in it, it stood straight up and down like the commercial and no other chili stood up, right? So we were excited about this lunch, my buddy Darren and I. And to the right of the sink was a jug of Carlo Rossi Burgundy wine. You know, the big glass jug with the little pirate finger handle on there, like the little jug. And I remember him asking me, hey, do you want some of this? And for a split second, caution tape flashed in front of my eyes because my dad will celebrate 40 years sober this November. So I knew a little bit about the risks of alcoholism. But anyhow, which was instinctively followed up by taking a drink, right? Taking a drink that, you know, made me feel different. Darren went upstairs. I refilled up the glass. I had a second drink of wine. And that's when something happened to me physically. I remember my shoulders dropped. I exhaled a little bit. And for some reason, I was like, this is the magic ticket. This is now what I'm going to need in order to feel okay. Because I never felt okay. I always felt less than as a kid, you know? And whether I was born an alcoholic, chicken or the egg, I don't know. I don't care. I am one today. But that day is crystal clear in my mind, you know? And there's a statement on page 448 says, at that moment, I made a profound decision that was to direct my life for many years to come. Alcohol was my friend and I would follow it to the ends of the earth. And I chased that. I chased that for a really long time to feel that way that I felt that day after summer school. And the reason why I share that vivid memory is because, you know, I don't remember what time of day any one of my five kids were born. You know, I don't remember if my first pop was Mr. Pibb or, you know, Pepsi. I don't remember what color my tie was at my wedding, but I remember that first day like it was yesterday, you know? And while that doesn't make me an alcoholic, it's certainly telling. It was a momentous occasion in my life that is burnt into my psyche to the point that I'll always remember it. You know, it was the day my life changed. So jumping ahead to get into the step work itself, you know, one thing that I experienced was a lot of the things that we experienced. Like I said, I was a retread. I rolled into treatment in 2003. I thought I had a problem with outside issues and other, you know, alcohol in dry form, but I didn't think I had a problem with alcohol. I was quickly proven wrong 8 months after the fact when I realized that I could not drink and I could not not drink. And all of those yets that they talked about started hitting me, you know, faster than I could lower my expectations, the DUIs, the jail, the bankruptcies, the foreclosures, the car repossessions, being availed to industry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I finally reached a point where the law was going to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And do you guys hear that? No? Okay. I think someone's mic is open there. Anyhow, sorry, that threw me off a little bit. Did for me what I was not able to do for myself. And I ended up going back into treatment a second time. And what happened there was I had some good years of contented sobriety. I was working with a sponsor and doing the steps. I went through the steps. I was working with other men in the program. And I got 10 and a half years sober. And then what happens is I believe that I started working the 12 steps backwards at the end, because all of a sudden, all the gifts that AA gave me got in the way of my AA life. You know, and unsurprisingly, I relapsed. I went back out there into the wilderness. And, you know, I kind of think of it this way. You know, in hindsight, it seems pretty clear to me. But, you know, I remember saying to myself, you know, I don't need this many meetings. You know, I'm going to too many meetings. We can chill out a little bit on the meetings. You know, from the 12th step, working it backwards, it went a little something like this. You know, I stopped working with other guys. I stopped working with my sponsor. I stopped carrying the message. 12th step was out the window. The 11th step continued with prayer and meditation, et cetera. I no longer did that. I stopped doing that. The 10th step, I stopped taking my inventory, but I was taking your inventory, right? The 9th step was I was no longer willing to make those amends to people that were still sitting on my list. The 8th step, I stopped looking at it. The 7th and the 6th step, there were no longer character defects. There were character assets. The 5th step, I didn't tell anybody anything about the darkness that I was experiencing in those later years of my recovery. 4th step, the list just collected dust. The 3rd step, I no longer had a connection with God. 2nd step, I came to believe in myself that I'd be able to drink again safely. And the 1st step, I became powerful again over alcohol in my sick mind. And I drank. And that kept me out there really sick for about 4 years until I came back in. And I was willing this time 2.5 years ago to work this thing like my life depended on it, because it does. I worked back through the 12 steps. And continue to work the 12 steps today, because, you know, the most sober I'm ever going to get is that 24 hours, the 23 hours, 59 minutes and 59 seconds. So into the steps itself, on step 12, the original version said, having had a spiritual experience as the result of this course of action, we tried to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. For me, this program is so much more than just taking other guys through the work, and I'll get to that in a minute, but it's about carrying that message. It's about living life outside of these rooms. You know, I can stay hidden in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings all day long, and this is the batter's box, right, and not participate in the game of life. For me, it's the other 23 hours out of the day outside of these rooms. You know, when you're not watching me, how am I acting? How am I behaving? You know, what sort of thoughts are popping up in my head? Is there anything that I can or should be doing, you know, to try to address that? But it's important to note that in working the 12 steps, I heard somebody say at a meeting the other night, they said, you know, there's the saying, you got to give it away to keep it. And she said, you got to give it away to get it. And I believe that today, because I believe the magic happens when you start working with others. I believe that the steps we do to clear away the wreckage, and it gives us the capability to pass that message on to other folks so that they also can recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. But the feeling that I get when I'm taking other people through the work is a feeling that's indescribable. You know, it's a feeling that unites me with the Josh that I feel I should have always been or was always capable of, you know? And I presently work with, I've got 9 sponsees that I'm working with right now. Zoom is really funny because, you know, I'm working with these folks over Zoom, which is really interesting. There's a guy in Australia. I've got somebody in Kentucky. But I'm able to have a connection with these people. And we're able to do the work together with the technology that's afforded to us in 2024 to be, it's truly amazing. You know, the fact that we're on an AA meeting right now, all around the world in different spots, and we're able to kind of carry this message is fantastic. You know, I still go to in-person meetings as well. That's part of what I do to carry that message and to receive the message, you know, because I'm not the doctor. I'm still one of the patients, right? I don't ever want to forget that I'm not cured. All I have is information that was provided to me by another man. That was information that was provided to him by another man. And that allows me to carry that forward. But I truly believe that the magic in Alcoholics Anonymous happens when we start working with other drunks. You know, seeing the light come on in their eyes. There was something that I carried a lot of shame and blame about on my fifth step. And, my fourth step. And when I gave my fifth step, I was surprised that I didn't feel better when I'd released this thing out into the ether to God, myself, and another human being. You know, it was still something that really carried a lot of weight on my soul. And it wasn't until I took another man through the work and he said the exact same thing back to me that all of a sudden it started to resonate, and almost immediately all of that shame, blame, guilt, the feelings associated with it melted away. And that's when I think I really knew, like when they say we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it, it's not when I decide to tell my story. It's when someone else decides to tell my story, you know? And then when that connection is made, all of a sudden now I'm a part of, I'm not apart from, I'm in the program. I'm not around the program. We're doing this thing together. When I am taking people through the work, a couple things that I do, and again, this isn't in the book per se, but you know, there's you'll hear a lot of stuff when you come here if you're newer, do 90 and 90, this, that, whatever. I tell people if I drink every day, I expect you to call or text me every day. It's not too much to ask. You're probably going to the bathroom 5-6 times a day. You know, if we can't be serious about a recovery enough just to make a quick call or a quick text, it's not for me, it's for them, right? But at the same time, it is for me, because when I hear from them, I feel better. But it's a program of action. It's a program of action. And I'll tell you what, like if I'm going to invest time with a new guy and go through the work, which I'm happy to do, I want to make sure that it's going to bear some fruit, you know? So I hate to say that that's kind of like the early pretest, if you will, to see if a person's willing, but it kind of is, you know, are they willing? If they say they're willing to go to any length, can they at least reach out to me once a day with a text or a phone call? If they fall off the map and don't call or don't text, for me, for this alcoholic, I'm not necessarily going to chase that person down. We're not babysitters or bounty hunters here. You know, I don't need to tell anyone if they're an alcoholic. For me, my experience out there in the wilderness proved to me that I was an alcoholic. In here, try to carry the message that there's a solution for alcoholics, right? And it also talks in our literature that, you know, to spend too much time with someone who may not, and I'm paraphrasing, too much time with someone who may not want this is not availing yourself to, you know, 2 or 3 other people down the line that really do want to do the work and want to get in here and get sober. There's only so many hours in a day, right? So with the 12 step, it's a multi-purpose thing, because when we're working steps with sponsees, you know, we're going through the literature. What we do, I start at the front of the book all the way from the blank page, and I tell them what my sponsor told me, because again, alcoholics are not guinea pigs, right? I'm not going to test some fancy new thing on you in the hopes that it's going to work. This ain't my program. This is what I was taught. And that's the message that I get to transmit, right? It's dangerous for me. My advice may kill you. It may get you, so I don't know. But what I do know is the instruction that I was given by another man, I can carry that on. That instruction kept me sober. Hopefully it keeps them sober, right? But we go through, we start at the front page of the book, and on the blank page, you know, at the very beginning, it's the first promise of recovery, you know, and this is what I know about staying sober. Nothing. It's a blank page, right? Then we go back through it. We write in the triangle. We go through and again, you know, once we start getting through the contents, the preface, the forewords into the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, et cetera, I've got a pretty good idea on who's willing and ready and wanting to do this work. So I'm also of the belief that we do 1, 2, and 3 out there. And the reason why I'm touching on this pretty quickly, it all ties into the 12th step for me, right? Because what message are they carrying? You know, the 12th step is the coup de grace. I mean, they're carrying the message of all the steps that they've worked up to that point, right? So I'm a believer that we do 1, 2, and 3 out there. You know, I'm in trouble. I can't do this on myself. I just walked into a meeting. I'm hopeful that something other than just me can keep myself sober, you know, to boil it down that way. I like to get guys into the work on the 4-step right away. You know, when Bill and Bob and the old timers were doing this stuff, they got into the work, you know, it was like, hey, here's some sauerkraut juice and tomato concoction and drink it up. And I know you've got a headache, but let's get into work, you know, let's go ahead and get sober. The steps aren't something we do once we're sober. They're something that we do to get sober, in my opinion, you know, because sober is that state of mind. It's not just the physicality of not drinking. If all I got here in Alcoholics Anonymous was not drinking, I wouldn't be here today. I can tell you that. That's not enough for me. That is not enough to keep me sober, because I've proven to myself multiple times that just not drinking and not changing my behavior, right, and not allowing a God of my understanding into my life, I end up drunk every time. It's 100% foolproof. I will drink again if I don't do the work. So, you know, we go through the book, we do the work, and then basically, you know, once a person is eager enough to get through the work, I don't have any sort of, you know, you can't sponsor others until you're such and such a, you know, 10 months sober. Like that's not my business. That's between them and God. If they raise their hand and they've done the work and someone else sees value in them and they want to do the work, why would I ever think that I could impact that, right? So there's no boundaries in regards to that. If people do the work and they're willing to carry the message, that's what we focus on. But again, the 12th step itself and working with others is also outside of the step work. You know, like it said in that original reading of the manuscript, they pulled out the with others, especially alcoholics. So that tells me that I need to practice these principles and work this program everywhere. You know, it's not just taking people through the book and, hey, here's how I stayed sober. Here's what you can do to carry the message. That's a huge part of it, because without that fundamental baseline, I got nothing, right? But that message of putting others first, that message of learning how to love people in a non-transactional way, you know, that's what I get to carry out today to my kids. That's what I get to carry out today to my coworkers. That's what I get to carry out today to the guy that just cut me off in that car. You know, that's what I get to carry out today to, you know, the gas station attendant that's grumpy. That's, you know, when I'm out there in the wilderness, right? How am I reacting, responding, and how am I being? How am I being if I'm truly sober? How am I being? You know, am I suiting up and showing up? Am I the same guy that shows up in the meeting as I am in the parking lot after the meeting? that's a pretty good indication. You go to a lot of meetings, you know, and granted, sometimes we can have a little fun after the meeting and rib each other a little bit. But I mean, am I having a personality change? Like I was drinking a completely different person in an AA meeting than I am in the AA meeting in the parking lot after the meeting? You know, am I the same dude? Or is this all fake? Is this all just some synthetic presentation that we put on? Because if so, wow, that's sick. You know, to a room full of ex-drunks, right? Like I'm going to put on some fake face. I need to be true. I need to be real in order to stay alive today. You know, there's a saying from Father Tom that I really liked. Speaker Father Tom, I was just down in Las Vegas at the State Line AA convention. And he said, you know, three things I cannot change. I can't change the past. I can't change the truth. And I can't change you. But the three things I can change are my thinking, my behavior, and my attitudes. And I dig that because, you know, we say the serenity prayer all the time. And, you know, I'm an alcoholic of the real variety where I like to go, well, you know, when it gets into the wisdom to know the difference, I start to think that I can control and change things more than I can. You know, I heard a gal the other day say, hey, plan the picnic, but don't plan the weather. You know, this is about, I'm in the effort business today, not the results business. And the same thing goes with sponsees, you know, no human power, right, could have relieved our alcoholism that God couldn't, what if he were sought. I carry, I'm not responsible for anybody's recovery or lack thereof. You know, we carry the message in here. And I know it's sad because sometimes people will walk people through the steps and they don't sober up and all of a sudden they feel like a failure, you know, and the reality is no. No human power. You know, this message is in this book. You know, it's just like when Bill W. was out there, you know, trying to grab dudes off the street, you know, and hey, sober up, come on in here. I've got the booze cure. And no one was sobering up. And then, you know, Lois says, well, you're staying sober, aren't you, Bill? You know, and this epiphany pops into his head. Oh, yeah, that's the deal. I got to give it away to get it. I got to give it away to get it, you know. A new definition of insanity is coming to a 12-step program and refusing to work the 12 steps. You know? The magic is in these steps, the way that they're written. It's the recipe. I don't have to rewrite the recipe. You know? It's like if somebody said, hey, my vision's blurry. Hey, well, we've got some glasses for you that's going to take care of that and bring you right up to 2020. And I say, well, you know, I think I'm going to go down to Cuba and try this experimental laser that they're doing on eyeballs where they kind of dip it in bleach and roll it around. You know, I mean, that's crazy. It's crazy, right? The answer's in this book. You know, there is a solution. It's in this book. And it's evidenced by people that come in here and they stay sober long term. But it's really sad when people, and I'm one of them, I'm telling on myself, right? So like when I say I'm really sad, there's zero judgment. I came into these rooms and I refused to work the steps. I polished that one side of the triangle, you know, and I just sat in rooms hoping for that osmosis to kick in. And somehow, if I read the steps enough, I could fool myself into believing that I did them. You know, there's a difference, right? Because there's that humility that takes place. There's the magic that takes place. But I can't transmit something I haven't got. You know, and at that 10 and a half years, a large portion of that was sobriety. I was fraudly, godly, and phony baloney. You know, I was that guy that was coming in here trying to sound good, look good, talk good, and I was dead inside. You know, until I had an opportunity to get real. You know, to work this program, to take other people through the work that was so freely given to me, by the way. You know, because if I don't, that's shoplifting, right? Someone else pulled my butt out of the fire, right? Hey, here's the answer to all your problems. We're going to stay sober. And I don't pass that along. Wow. They say alcoholics are selfish and self-centered, but that about takes the cake, doesn't it? Doesn't that take the cake? Here, we're going to save your life. Don't tell anybody else. It's fine. You know, anyway. So, I mean, there's so many magical things that happen in this program. How am I doing on time? 4 minutes? Cool. All right. Well, I can lie for another 4 minutes there, John. We'll see what we can pack in. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Look, guys, when I came back into these rooms 2.5 years ago, I made a promise. I made a promise to myself. I made a promise to my friends in recovery that I was going to be authentic as I can be on any given day. You know, sometimes it's better than others. Sometimes I'm shrouded in fear and confusion. You know, I'm going through a divorce right now, 2.5 years sober, from an 18-year marriage with 5 kids. So don't come to me for marriage advice. You know, don't come to me for that. You know, I may be able to tell you a little something about staying sober, but I mean, I'm not the answer to all of your problems. You know, I was not a vision for you. I was more of a sight to see, if you know what I mean. Right. So, you know, but I'm happy today. And working this program has given me the ability to not lean on those old behaviors, which is to go get drunk, to just numb it out. Right. To just delete all of you from my mind, from my social media, from my phone, pretend that AA never existed, you know, and just go out there and cause more chaos and wreckage with 5 kids, you know, holding them hostage as prisoners, right? I had to fully admit to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic, that I was powerless over alcohol in my life. Without that higher power, is unmanageable. And I'll point out that in the 12th step, it says having had a spiritual awakening is the result of these steps. So I struggled with 2 and 3, which is really funny because there's so much wiggle room in 2, you know, came to believe as a process, right? That a power, not in a power, could restore us to sanity, could, not would, you know, and then made a decision, the 3 frogs on a log. We've heard that analogy. I mean, it just gives us so much room to crack the door of willingness to get into the work, because it tells me that in the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, that's where the magic's going to start happening. Yeah, I'm going to feel some promises are going to pop up halfway through step 9, but the magic's going to start happening when I get the heck, I almost said the HE double hockey sticks, but we're watching the language here. We're watching the language, right? See, you can change. I got to get out of the way. I just have to get out of the way and allow the grace of this program to work on me and sometimes through me, you know? Because when I get in the way, I work against me and then I work against you. And I don't mean to. It's not that we're bad people. You know, it's the illness. It lives between my ears. It's this organ, this gray matter with little ripples and stuff in here that still tells me that I might be able to do this thing my own way. You know, there's no shortage of smart people 6 feet under today, you know, that suffered from this disease. But you know, I'll end with this. You know, again, I remind myself that the most important hour out of the day is not the hour in here. It's the 23 hours outside, you know, when no one's watching me. You know, am I being honest with myself? My sponsor, Rick, always says, God wants what's best for me. God also wants what's best from me. You know? I also make a point to remember that I'm still powerless over alcohol, people, places, things. I'm incapable of accepting life on life's terms without a spiritual solution in my life. And that's with or without a drink. You know, it says at certain times we'll have no mental defense against the first drink. That tells me if I'm in here sober doing the best that I can do, it's by God's grace that I stay sober today. It's not by the power of Josh. I carry all the power in this little hand, none, right? We change in AA, but more importantly, we change for the better. So I pray, I meditate at night, sponsees, when we're going through the work, I suggest that they do the same, you know, because I believe honestly that we're building a relationship with their higher power, not my business, their higher power. And if I woke up every day and was married and gave the wife a kiss on the cheek and said, hey, babe, I'm off to work, and then left all day long and was gone, and then came home at midnight. Hey, bit, and you hop back. That's not a relationship. That's a bookend. You know, it's talking, it's nurturing, it's engaging throughout the day, right? So the same thing. I'm dating God today. You know, being able to reach out, being able to actually plug into that throughout the day. You know, I go to a minimum of 1 meeting a day. It's more like 3 or 4. Some are sicker than others, so that's not a prereq. You know, I continue to work the steps. I take new guys through the steps. I seek outside help that for me, for some other things. I call my sponsor often. I have a morning routine and I conduct a nightly inventory that's really helpful to make sure that I stay on the beam. And I have service positions. You know, I reach out to multiple fellows in the program via text and phone each day. And I'm not sure which one of those ingredients keeps me sober. I don't know which one it is. Is it all of them? Is it four or five of them? Six? So why screw with it? You know, it's like the glasses, man. Just put the glasses on your face, bro. You know, this works. Don't be doing that experimental eyeball bleach surgery that's down at that, you know, just put on the glasses, man. You know, so my prayer for all of us is that none of us get too many years and not enough days. You know, I'll leave it with this. You know, the other day they were talking about the fourth dimension and Einstein described the fourth dimension as time. And I'm like, well, that's a little foo-foo, isn't it? Are we going to like launch into the rocket ship of the future? Like, this is, what is this business, this fourth dimension? It's the time of now. Because I always live tomorrow. I always live in yesterday. This program rockets me back to here where my feet are. And that's the magic. That's the time of now that I'm in, that allows me to stay sober, that allows me to work with other guys. And hopefully they get what I got. You know, I got a life beyond my wildest drunken dreams. And I used to hate it when people said that. Yep, wrapping up right now. So anyway, I thank all of you for an awesome opportunity. I was kind of all over the place, but that's all right. You know what? I'd rather be honest than be some scripted fraud. So I love you guys. Thanks a lot for having me pop in here. And again, thank you so much.